I just want to deal with one area of transformation tonight. We've been talking about the tools of transformation. Well, didn't Stephen do a wonderful job Sunday talking about the Word of God being that element of change in our life, that God has given that to us? And so powerful messages. Really, both Sundays that Stephen has ministered on the Word of God, bringing about that change. Both has been transforming in themselves. Powerful, powerful words. And so tonight we're going to talk a little bit. I just want to share one essence of that with you. I want to talk about the tools of transformation. I want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit tonight. Not so much in a teaching process of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Larry. You knew I forgot offering, didn't you? Lord, we ask you to bless this offering and just use it for the glory of God in Jesus' name. And I know Larry, every time I do that, he wants to put his hand toward me and say, Lord, bless that mess. So thank you, Larry. Thank you all so much. But I want to not so much teach on the Holy Spirit. Is tonight, I just want us to get us ready for the Holy Spirit to do a great work in us. And I tell you, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to take that word and work in our life. So we're going to talk a little bit how that we can become more friendly related toward the Holy Spirit and how our life can become more open to it. Now, in the Romans chapter 12, hey, Jeremy, I can't get this thing to go backwards. All right, there we go. All right, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's what we're looking about, is transformation. I'll be honest with you. What this world has got to see in all of our lives, got to see of transformation. We must be transformed in every arena and every area of our life. There's nothing that we have that's left over from the old life that we want in our lives now. And certainly nothing in our thought processes. Things we leaned on back in our old life, we no longer find strength there anymore. And I'm surprised, you know, that some people, as Christians, in their conversation, they say, well, this way I've always been. Oh, that's your problem. It's not what we've always been. It's what we've allowed God to transform us. God is supposed to transform us in thought, word, and deed toward everything in life. We must be brand new in Him. And I tell you, the world wants to see people that have been changed by the power of God. And I think too much as a believer that we get satisfied. We come to Christ, get our name written down in heaven, get our ticket punched to go. And then we have learned to just be at ease in Zion, as Brother Leonard Ford says. And I think that's wrong. I think a transforming process is what this world has to see. They must see God's power. As God miraculously moves in us, the world knows that God cares about them. And so if I'm not allowing God to miraculously move in my life, then I'm stopping the very witness that God intends to be to this world. Amen. So the Lord wants to help us. So it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now notice it doesn't say the renewal of your brain. It says the renewal of your mind. Your mind is a part of your brain, but just because something's in your brain doesn't necessarily mean it's a part of your mind. Your mind, your attitude, your thought patterns that you have. So if I'm going to find change, then I must some way get that word working inside me, begin to let it be in my, stored in my brain, but it can't stop there. The Holy Spirit then must begin to take that word, and the Holy Spirit will take the word then that I store up in my brain and will transform me. Everybody say, transform me with it. And to where there's a renewal not only of my thought life, but it's a renewal of my mind. And God says, if I'll renew my mind, and a lot of times people, I feel like, become very discouraged. They memorize three pet scriptures. And they, some way, lock that into their brain. And then when things are not happening in their life, they become very discouraged. And we say, the answer's in the Word. And they say, well, I've got it. I can memorize it. And some of them can even quote several more scriptures than that for you. But just because you've got something locked in your memory, that memory, that's just the first stage of it. There must be, the Holy Spirit must be able to take it from there and transform with that word the way we think about things. The way we think about marriage, the way we think about sacrifice, the way we think about money, the way we think about life, the way we think about our future, the way we think about our children, see. The work is not done until the Holy Spirit is able to take that we've stored there, but the Holy Spirit then takes it and transforms us in our mind. And the God says, I'm supposed to love Him with all my mind. Amen. It's important that my mind become surrendered to the Lord. Amen. Now, that out of the NLT, I love the way it says, don't copy the behavior of the customs of the world. It said, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Isn't that a beautiful verse? God wants to change the way I think. Not just a thought. But God wants to change the way those thoughts impress me and the way I think about things. The way I think about you. And the way you think about me. And the way you think about that person that's sitting beside you. See, if God's not changing that, I'm not being transformed. I've stopped the process of God. I've not allowed God to do His work. And I cannot tell you how many times, I tell you, there's been a whole lot more people disappointed once they start a Christian experience. They'll start a Christian experience, and it's so sad to me that they would end in utter disappointment. But I'm going to tell you what, if you don't let the Holy Spirit complete the work of God in you, if you do not let the Holy Spirit not only put a scripture in your mind, because see, we can use scripture, we can even fight with scripture. Lane and I can prove that to you. You want to give us about 10 minutes? You can even fight with scripture, but you can't if you've been renewed in your mind. Because your mind will not allow you to think that way. It will refuse to think harm. It will refuse to think evil. It will refuse to think lustful. It will refuse to put you first. It will refuse those things. And I tell you, a sad thing in the world is to be a believer and still act like the world. That's sad. Still think and act and talk and walk like the world. That's sad. That's so sad. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18 said, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit? Somebody say, the Lord, who is the Spirit? Makes us more and more like Him as we are changed. The process of God changing me must involve the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know some of you have got a little bit and you don't want any more. And that's also the process of your transformation. The very place that you're saying no to the Holy Spirit is the very place that you're transforming, your change is stopping. Because it takes, it doesn't take finding a few pet scriptures. You know how we do? We find scriptures that make us sound smart. Oh, I know. That's the ones I used to memorize. It made me sound smart when I was preaching. So that's the ones we're usually hunting for. But that's not the power of the Holy Spirit working in me. Because the power of the Holy Spirit will reach down and get that scripture where I'm the weakest. And the Holy Spirit will have me concentrate in that area until that weakness begins to turn to strength. Amen. So it takes some power and the move of the Holy Spirit working in us. Now, Ephesians 4:22 says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes, what it says. Everybody say, let the Spirit. I said, you can tell how much a person treasures the Spirit. All right, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Put it on, it says. It's amazing to me when we come to Christ and certainly my works of making myself right with God have ceased. Jesus did it. But the very God that did it now has begun to tell me to put things on and to stop certain things and to do certain things, which I become powerless in my flesh to be able to do. But the very reason that God tells me to do certain things is because God wants me to realize that I am first powerless before Him. I can't handle life by myself. I can't handle life even if I have a part in it. I must learn to lean on God more heavily, or I must learn how to some way connect with the Holy Spirit to where the Holy Spirit is just not somebody that's leading me, telling me to turn to the right or turn to the left, but I've got to be able to connect with the Holy Spirit till the Holy Spirit is able to empower me. And I tell you, that is another stage to that. We rejoice in the Holy Spirit, but I must allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in me that will teach me, train me to draw strength from Him. Because the very things that God wants me to do, and I'm not talking about sailing around the world, I'm not talking about going to Africa, I'm talking about when the Lord tells me, don't be angry, or be angry and sin not, or when those things that I'm powerless to do, I proved that before I was saved, those things had me totally controlled, I must come to a place. And so many times, people said, I tried that. No, honey, you tried that in your way. We must come to a place where we learn how to allow the Holy Spirit to put His power in us. Whether that takes me yielding more, learning more, doing more, praying more, whatever it takes. I must come to the end of myself, but coming to the end of myself is not enough. I must come to a place to where I learn to receive. The Bible tells us we operate in this life from grace to grace. In fact, one place says more grace. I must allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in me that is ever increasing me. Amen. All right. All right, still, let the Spirit of God renew your thoughts and attitudes. So I must come to that. I've got to let the Spirit of the Lord. This scripture tells me I've got to allow the Spirit of God to do something in my thought life that will strengthen me to change my stinking thinking. I got to allow the Holy Spirit to do something in me that will change the way I do life. Amen. It says we put on new nature created to be. Hey, Jeremy, I've stopped again. Let's see. Better get me going. Jeremy. I don't hear the pitter patter of feet. All right, Ephesians chapter 6 says, and verse 17, it says, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, so many scriptures that we could have chosen, but the Spirit of God working with the Word of God. The Word of God gives a tool in the hands of the Spirit of God that allows God to work in my life. I've got to come to a wonderful place of enriching my relationship with the Holy Spirit. Not only must I grow in the Word, I must come to a place to where Jeremy can fix this thing for good. Where I can allow the Holy Spirit to take that Word and use it. Now, the Word and the Spirit. A lot of times when people think, they think the Word versus the Spirit. And in fact, Lane and I used to teach this way. We would back in the days of a GLOW, women's groups across, we would go to a GLOW meetings, and they would invite us to an area meeting or to some type of meeting. And she would go and she'd say, I come as the Word. And then I would walk in and I come with the Spirit. And really what we were saying is that the Word is versing the Spirit. But it's not the Word versus, it's the and. It's God and It's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that I'm going to allow to transform my life. That I'm going to allow God to bring the change. How to have the Holy Spirit actively involved in our life. I believe that's the cry. We know how to get the Word. Oh, we should know. We're going to take discipline in our life for the Word of the Lord to be put in our life. If you're not giving yourself to the Bible, then your spiritual life is not going to grow very far. You've got to be willing to discipline your life, allow the Spirit of the Lord to help you to do. And some of us have never disciplined our lives in any way. So it's going to be a brand new world at that. For us to gain the discipline of the Spirit in our life to where we put the Word of God in our life on a daily basis. Now, there's no substitute for that. We can rub your head till you're bald-headed. We can drown you in oil. But until you get down and say, I will discipline my life to grow in the Word of God, there's little that we're going to be able to do to help you change as far as transformational change. We can pray for miracles. We can believe God and you get in hard times and we'll believe the Lord turned that things around. But for transformational change, it has to be the strength of God's Spirit in you. Somebody says, I'm not an early person. What is the Holy Spirit in you? I just don't understand the Bible. You need to get your thinking off of I and begin to understand. Now you have somebody else in you. You have the Holy Spirit is in you. Now things have changed. Things have changed. That may have been the way you were, but that's not the way you have to be now. As you begin to recognize there's somebody else inside you to help you, to empower you. Amen. So where it is that you need to discipline? It's no place for a believer in my life, I know. And I use that excuse all the time. I say, I just can't do that. But there is no position in a believer in their life for ever developing the attitude of what that God wants us to do that we can't do it. Because God expects us to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit to where it becomes spirit empowered and no longer flesh empowered. Therefore, if God leads you on a fast, you can fast. People say, I can't fast. You may not can, but you've got to learn to have confidence on the Holy Spirit inside you. Amen. Got to learn to have a faith in what God can do. Maybe I couldn't do this, but now I can because the Holy Spirit is in me. One of the hardest things I do is preach. I'm naturally, in my natural person, I'm scared of people. Fear of people is a part, and God called me to be a pastor. I get frigid almost every time. I've been preaching for 40-something years, but almost every time before I preach, I come out here, and I get frigid before. And it's being tormented to be called to do something, and you feel you can't do it. But I'm telling you what, if you're going to depend on you to do it, you're not going to be able to do it. You've got to come to a place to depend on God. That's why I lay on that floor before I speak. Because I can't do it, but God can do anything He wants me to do. Amen? So what we've got to learn is how to draw from the Holy Spirit. How am I going to begin? How can I draw power to do what God wants me to do? One thing, God wants me to get the Word of God in me. So I must draw strength of God to discipline myself to whatever it takes to get the Word of God in me. Amen? All right, how can I have the Holy Spirit? Well, first thing is you got to want Him. Everybody say, want Him. And that has to be a tremendous want. When you realize you are total weak and your life without God, there is no help. And if you think you're doing life on your own, it's not going to be long till a brick wall is going to hit you, or you're going to hit a brick wall that will tear your life apart. You've got to know you can't do this. You've got to want Him to do it. So the first thing, you've got to just simply want Him. And you've got to want Him enough to whatever it takes to supply that want inside you. Because that desire for God in you is not you. That desire that you think originated with you, that originated with God. God created, the Bible says, the desire and the power both to will and to work for His satisfaction, His delight, and His good pleasure. That desire for the Holy Spirit in you, that desire for the power of God, that desire in you for the strength of God to be able to do what God's called you to do, that's God. That's the Holy Spirit bringing forth the desire for Himself, because the Holy Spirit knows that each one of us are powerless in our own. But through God, we are powerful. Somebody jump up and say, I can do all things. Somebody, come up. I can do all things. Come on, say it out loud. I can do all things through Him. I can do all things through Christ. Amen. That has to be our heart. I want Him. Next thing, we have to seek Him. That means whatever the path that God has called me to seek it, I must be willing to. I must be willing to say, I can remember when I was first saved, like the day I got saved, my life changed. I was transformed in a lot of different ways immediately, miraculously. But a lot of ways didn't. My anger didn't leave. My worry didn't leave. My fear didn't leave. But miraculously, when I gave my heart to the Lord, there were several things that did. I knew that something was in me new. I mean, I knew that. There was no doubt. I knew something in me was different. I come to find out what was in me that was different, but the Holy Spirit was. That when I accepted Jesus, the Holy Spirit began to flow into my life. But then I had my sister that came up to me, who had experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say infilling. Who had experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And she said, Jerry, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what I told her. I said, Jeanette, I have everything I need. And I wouldn't mean that to be smart. I was speaking out of my knowledge that I had at that time. And I had just went through a miraculous change. I mean, not filled with the Spirit, but having the Spirit. I was willing to leave my home, leave my job, move out of my house, move to another state, live without any money, even live in a park, Elaine and I did, lived in our car in a park. I was willing to do all that just by the point of what God did to me at salvation. But that never left me. From the point that she said, Jerry, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And sure enough, I wasn't discipled long, and a lot of self-discipling took place, to where the Scriptures bore that out. That there was an infilling of the Holy Spirit that God desired me to have. You've got to be willing to seek God the way His Word tells you to seek Him. You've got to be willing to do that. You've got to get prejudice out of you. You've got to lay down what you were taught as a child, if it goes against what God's Word says. You've got to get it out of you, what will my parents think, or what my husband think. You've got to seek God. You've got to want God enough to seek Him and the path that He has set for you. And so it can begin just as this here tonight. Lord, I want You and I'm willing to seek You. Lord, I want You and I'm willing to seek You. Lord, I want You and I'm willing to seek You. Lord, I want You and I'm willing to seek You. Next thing, you have to desire. You start off with wanting Him. And then it begins to seek. You begin to move down that path. And that desire, I learned that desire. I wanted. It came to a point where I knew that I needed more of the Holy Spirit than I had received at salvation. I knew that by the Word. And then so I began to seek Him. And it was hard for me because I'm a fear-based person. And I was in the old life. And so in the old life, I mean, it was so hard for me. It was hard for me to bring attention to myself in any way. And it was one of the hardest things I did was when I first went down in the front of a church and I asked God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I found out at that point my want to had to grow. So Elaine and I, we both did that. Now, she was taught against it. I wasn't taught against it. But both of us disciples, we walked down the same night. And we just knew that we had to have more of the Holy Spirit than we had received salvation, brought glorious change. But now I knew I needed a deeper walk with the Spirit of God. And so Lane and I both went down that night. And that little quiet girl I married, all of a sudden she became boisterous standing there beside me and began to pray in a language that I know that girl didn't know. It didn't sound like some of the words I'd heard her say before. It started with different syllables altogether. And that was a wonderful night, but it was the hardest night for me. Because I walked out of that service tonight feeling that I did not receive the infilling that I desired. I remember Lane walked out of that service that night and she said, "I'm going to go call Mom and Dad." Now, Mom and Dad, they were diehard Baptists. And so I really didn't know the difference in that then. But I looked at her and I said, "Girl, you're not calling anybody." So I told her, I said, "Girl, you're not calling anybody until I get filled." And I was honest with her, man. It was a hurtful thing. See, because for days, I had told her. I mean, I literally, because I saw it in the Word. And I called myself willing to seek Him. For days, I would come in from, I was going to college and working too. And when I come in, the first thing I would do was walk in and go to a little place in our little apartment that I call my altar. And I would kneel and I would fast and I'd pray. And I'd say, "Oh God, fill me." Because I would cry out to God. And she didn't do any of that. And I kept telling her, "If you don't do it like me, you won't get it." The problem is, she was scriptural and I was unscriptural. But in the process of it, so I said, "Don't tell." But that next night, my desire grew. And I laugh about it, but it was true desire. Because I had hit a place in life. I didn't have enough power. I didn't have a deep enough relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I knew that. And I came to a place where I was willing to seek Him. Lane said, "Jerry, all you've got to do is ask and believe and receive." So I said, "Well, all my fasting and praying didn't do it." "So I'll try it your way." So the next night, God filled me. But now, don't clap, because we would clap if a lot of times we think that was being the fulfillment. That was just the start. Each place in the Lord is a start into a deeper flow of God. Each place that you get to, each milestone that you go across, it's just a start to a much deeper place in the Lord. And see, and you that are here tonight, if you know that there is a desire in you, and if you know there is a need in you for more than you have, I want you to know that's the Holy Spirit moving in preparation for your life. It's so important to follow the desires as God puts in your heart. Because if you're willing to follow the desires as God puts them in your heart, and you're willing to cross those thresholds of fear and security, you're just willing to keep crossing them for the Lord. If you're constantly willing, I'll take a step out of this boat, oh God, and I've never done this before. And I know the Spirit of the Lord is leading me, but Lord, I've never done this. I don't feel adequate in myself, you know. But the more willing we are to take those moves in God, then the more God is able to empower our life, and the more richer every milestone. I can remember reading in the Bible about singing in the Spirit. And it was entirely out of the Bible. And I said, Lord, Paul said he could sing in Spirit, and I don't. I pray in the Spirit. But Lord, this is another milestone. And I tell you what, there's a lot of beautiful experiences, but that's why I still sing in the Spirit tonight. I love to sing the Spirit in every service. You can have the natural if you want it. I found there's a deeper flow. There's just a deeper flow. And to connect with that deeper flow, because it was such a milestone in my life. I can remember where I was. At the same time, I can remember when I spoke in tongues for the first time. I remember where I was. I remember that sense of strength that empowered my life. I also remember where I was and what I sensed in my relationship with God. The first time I left, kneel at the cross, or whatever it was, and began to yield to singing in the Spirit. And then to begin to follow the leadership of the Spirit, other milestones. You never are through in this wonderful progression that God has for us. But what the important thing is that we're willing. Everybody say that we're willing. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, those that are dominated by their sinful nature, they think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, they think about things that please the Spirit. Wow. I want to think right thoughts, don't you? If God being able to transform my life is dependent on me being able to think right thoughts, then I want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Being controlled by the Holy Spirit doesn't make you in less control. In fact, there's a sense of your spirit that becomes empowered as you yield it to the Holy Spirit, to where really God even brings you more in control. What do I mean by this? God will lead you to do wonderful things. Then after you do it, you'll say, wow, I wish I would have thought of that. Because God built us from the very beginning. God knows how to satisfy down to the minute cell in my body. God knows how to make my whole life come alive and live. And if I would just trust Him and quit leaning on my flesh, leaning on my insecurities, and not allowing my fears to control me, but literally begin to lean on Him and trust Him. Amen. In Matthew it says, therefore I tell you, every sin and every blasphemy which forgive people but bless. Now I want to talk quickly. I got about 10 minutes. I want to talk about the three things that we can't do. I talked about the one thing that we do, and that's to desire Him. Desire Him, seek Him, want Him, seek Him, and desire Him. But now, if I'm going to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, there's three things I can't do. I'm going to have to decide in my life to veer away from. Number one is blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. I must come to a place where I'm careful with my words. I'm not going to contribute the things of God to the devil. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to do that. We'll begin to contribute the things that the Holy Spirit is working. You be careful with what you judge out of rash judgment. And you will be careful not to contribute the things that God may have done. Say, well, that's the devil. Sometimes people speak in tongues. Somebody else says, that's the devil. Sometimes people maybe dance under the flow of the Spirit. Somebody says, that's the devil. Sometimes somebody may come up to you and give you a word. And you say, I don't want that. Just be careful. You will never ever have a strong relationship with the Holy Spirit if you're not careful, because your prejudices come into your judgments. Your knowledge comes into your judgments. So you be careful in your judgments. The next thing that we can't do, there's three things listed in the Bible that I must not do to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And do not bring sorrow or grief or grieve the Holy Spirit by the way you live. Now, this is spoken there in context of the way I live. This is not hard to understand, this scripture. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by the way you live. In the context there in Ephesians chapter 4, it's explicit, the things that tells me that as a believer, I'm not to participate in. That I'm not to allow. I'm not to be controlled by my anger. I'm not to let rash judgments come out my mouth. I'm not to give myself over to things of the flesh. And it's very explicit. And then in the midst of that, it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit. You do that in the way you live. You blaspheme the Holy Spirit by judgment. A person grieves the Holy Spirit by the way they live. When the Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder and says, I don't want you to talk that way. What happens is this, because we've muzzled the Holy Spirit so many times in our life, we almost can't feel Him when He's still trying to tap us on the shoulder. It's like we discounted anything the Holy Spirit says to you, treasure it. Count it with great lengths. Treasure it. You will never be close to the Holy Spirit discounting the things that He's saying as non-important. I mean, the Holy Spirit, it can be as simple as you don't need that other Twinkie. See? Or, you don't need to talk like that, Jerry. Treasuring, no matter how minute it seems to you, but treasuring what the Holy Spirit directs you or convicts you of. Always let Him know, you're the voice I treasure more than any other voice. You, precious Holy Spirit, I'd rather do what you want, even if it seemed to make no sense, than I had do what I want. The Holy Spirit is so precious. The Holy Spirit will restrain you, refrain you, muzzle you, urge you, unction you. See? And letting Him know, you want to be able to feel that and sense that in your spirit. You want to be able to sense the Holy Spirit when He's given you unction to say that. I went walking out of the hospital this morning. Now, 15,000 times this year, I've probably missed it completely. Went walking out of the hospital, El Dorado, this morning. I was just in an elevator with a little lady, Bobby and I. We was in the elevator with a little lady. And I don't know, before I got out, I just sensed a little burden. I didn't have any direction for it. But then I went on, I was going out of the hospital, and there she was again. And I sensed that unction again of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you the honest, I didn't do it. I did not treasure it. So Bobby and I walked onto the car. I have no idea what he's talking about because I was so convicted. Because I hadn't treasured something that the Holy Spirit felt was important. I said, Bobby, unlock the door. I'll be back in a few minutes. I went, so then back up there, and I said, you know what? I just felt a burden for you. And she began to express the need in her life, the fear that she had. But how many times that happened to all of us, see? How many times do we discredit it, don't pay any attention to it, consider it as non-important? When God says, treasure me, I'm looking for someone to treasure me. I'm looking for somebody that would treasure me. I'm looking for someone that would treasure me. Well, I got into the last. The third one, he says, don't quench him. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't stifle him. Don't strangle him when he is trying to do something, say something, or flow through you. You will never have a close relationship with the Holy Spirit by strangling him out. You'll always have more of a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, by yielding to him.